Hello, Jake, the talent.
Hey, Slim.
Welcome to this week's Comixology podcast.
Thank you. I feel...
Number 18.
Number 18, wow.
We made it.
Looks like we made it to 18. Whew. Some people don't survive this long.
I know, it's very sad, and that's a stat.
It's true. It's true.
It's in the election. They're bringing it up a lot.
But there are a lot of people who survive. 18.
And this is dedicated to them.
Yeah.
This episode.
The
Welcome
survivor.
To our podcast. Jake is here. He is the talent, and I am at Slim. Jake, what's your Twitter name?
It's one... at number one hand at number one joystick. That's at one hand, one joystick.
We got a big show.
Really big shoe.
We have a...
Really, really big shoe.
The Twitter question of doom this week. Who would you like to see in a High Noon shootout?
Galactus and Too Much Coffee Man.
Hold on. We're not there yet.
Okay.
We'll get to it later in the show. That's in honor of the big sale we had for the sixth gun.
Yeah, sixth gun. Oh, shoot. That's right.
Everyone loves the sixth gun.
Everybody loves it. If you don't love it, you're not part of everyone.
You're
obviously
a dummy. Go get it before the sale ends tonight. And if this is Friday, then you just already lost.
Yeah, sorry you missed it. It's Friday.
What are you reading this week, Jake?
Oh, man. I'm reading. I actually read a lot.
Good for you.
Well, I read three things.
Did you?
And then I read some other things.
I was about to be a sarcastic clown and ask if you had finished Last of the Greats, but you already caught up on that.
I did caught up on that. Yeah, yeah. You're a little slow on the upkeep there.
Sorry.
Yeah, nice job. Let's start with probably the biggest title of the week, Action, as always.
Action Comics.
When it comes out, it is the biggest one, yes.
Hmm. Okay. Right.
I love Action Comics so much. I really do.
Really?
I'm in love with it, actually. I have. I took it out to dinner one night.
That's, and got it's down on one. It's inappropriate. Knees. We'll talk about that after the show.
Why is it inappropriate?
Inappropriate.
Okay, fine. Whatever. Inappropriate. But, Grant Morrison is still doing his Grant Morrison thing where he will, you know, make everybody talk at each other like they all know what they're talking about in the most professional way possible.
Mm-hmm.
He does the time travel thing where everybody knows what's going to happen, but it still makes for great reading and great like tension. And doing his whole thing of not doing exactly what you think he's going to do.
I read this issue also.
Yeah,
didn't like it that much.
You are made a bitch.
I don't like Legion that much. I'm not a big Legion guy.
I'm not a big Legion guy either, but I liked them a lot in this. It was, although they were a little, I've read some Legion before, and they were just a little out of character.
For me, someone who doesn't like Superman all that much, but was interested in the 5 years previous, or however many years this takes place.
5 years.
I just didn't want to have to deal with time travel, the Legion, and present-day Superman already. It's 6 issues in, or 7 issues in. Mm-hmm. I liked that the origin was its own thing, but then I think we talked about it before. I had a bad feeling about that, the final page of the last issue where the Legion were there and then adult Superman. I was like, oh no. I just couldn't get into it. I'll be glad when it comes back to
I mean, that the issue that set this up was an amazing issue with the Rocket telling
that
the
story. That was great.
I mean, that was so well done.
Yeah.
And then this one was a little bit more cut and dry, like, you know, Superman sort of story. I like that they introduced these new characters and we're introduced to a strange character who we have no idea who he is, but we'll see him again.
I have this weird thing with Andy Kubert's art, the way he draws fingers, and I'm about to blow everyone's mind right now. So you may need to fast forward right now if you don't want to have your mind blown.
What?
Whenever he draws hands, look at how he draws them, because you know how Spock does the V and he connects his two fingers on the ends?
Yes.
Kubert does it a lot where, like, the last two fingers will be next to each other and touching, or the first two fingers will be next to each other and touching, and it freaks me out every time he draws a comic book.
Why does it freak you? Why does it scare you?
Because he just does it a lot. So go when you read a book by Andy Kubert, look at their hands and look to see if the index finger and the middle finger are touching and the other ones are separated.
Anytime you come into the office, I'm only going to, like, hold my hands in a certain in that certain way.
Go ahead, and I'll quit immediately. let's talk about a book I read.
What'd you? I don't want to talk about what you read. No, what did you read?
For 99 cents.
Everybody hear that? 99 cents.
99. Transformers Autocracy.
Ooh, I didn't read that one yet. How was it?
I love this little digital experiment.
Okay,
I'm going to tell you that right now. For those that don't know, Transformers Autocracy is a bi-weekly, 8-page story for 99 cents.
Yes, each 12 issue. Issues. Yes. If you don't know what it's about, you can listen to my interview with Chris Metzen and Flint Dilley.
It was amazing.
It was amazing.
You're like an interview stallion.
Yes.
Bask in your own greatness. Oh, so this is telling the story, you know, we talked about previously. It's like the early going of Decepticons and Autobots, where the Decepticons are like, you know, terrorist cell, and the Autobots are the cops. And there's this cool character, Zeta Prime. And I'm not a big Transformers guy, so if this is all previous knowledge, I apologize. Zeta Prime.
It is.
Is so I'm telling myself this out there.
Yeah,
Zeta Prime is this you know, he's like the Optimus Prime for that period, and he it looks like he wants to get things done by any means necessary, whereas the senator's character, like this council, really don't want to force their power on the people. So this Zeta Prime has found this weapon of like total destruction to eradicate Decepticons, but it needs large amounts of power. So in order to get that power, he decides that he has to physically, like, just take it from the people in the city without them knowing. And Starscream is a character in this storyline, and it's cool because he's, like, not a Decepticon. He's kind of on the inside, but people don't trust him. So he's not really full-blown, hey, this guy's a Decepticon. He's, like, working for them, but nobody realizes that. It's just very, you know, the art is fantastic. Like I said this before, Transformers comics, I don't know, it's... it's got to be great for me to be interested in it.
Yeah.
And the art is fantastic.
And it's good. You know, I haven't read it yet, but I'm definitely going to read it probably after this because Starscream is one of my favorite characters.
Oh, he's good in this.
He's so my favorite character. He's always been my favorite Transformer.
I have a Starscream t-shirt. Ever done that?
No.
Yeah.
I want one.
Maybe I'll wear it to work one day.
You should. Oh my God. It'd make my day.
What else are you reading right now?
I caught up on Invincible. Invincible. What is it? What are we at? 92? Yeah,
really?
It's 92.
Is it?
Yeah. Because okay. I think the next one's 93. The next cover, which will, you know, if people have seen it, is shocking.
Yeah, very shocking. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we in this issue we see, you know, a lot of twists and turns. You know, we see the fight between Alan and Mark, and the inclusion of the character who was in the last at the end of the last issue,
right, the cliffhanger,
Freddie Mercury,
Freddie of the Viltrumites.
Yeah, it's Freddie Mercury of the Viltrumites comes and starts. And you know, one of the things I hate in comic books is when they have a lot of conversation. When they are like, you know, you see like a lot of talking, a lot of blah 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 blah.
There was a lot.
There's a lot, but in this, I like it because it's really interesting to see how these people's minds work. Like, when Mark has a lot of inner dialogue, it's actually really interesting because he's, like, he's arguing with himself about what... You actually, like, see his inner monologue about... Excuse me. About what he is, you know, how he wants to approach something. He's like, well, all the strength didn't work. You know, being... Just punching things didn't work. I want to try and do something and be proactive.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, well, maybe this isn't working. He's like, really trying hard to, like... find his place in the universe, which, you know, he is like one of the strongest people in the entire universe. Yeah. So it's like it's really interesting to watch him grow.
And their debates for, you know, the big scourge virus, you know, each side is pretty convincing.
Yeah, I'm like really like, and you know, we've got Freddie Mercury, who is like, his name is actually Thrag, but he's evil. He is totally evil, and he wants to take over the universe, but he makes a really compelling argument. And I'm just like, I'm for a minute, I'm like on his side, and I'm like, whoa, this is really weird.
Yeah. And, it's just a great book. This, this is obviously setting up changes that's going to change, you know, the title for, I guess, for the next year or so, who knows, but.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you think that the cover for the next issue is
I'm trying to think if there was a character in the past that could be that person, but I can't recall offhand.
I mean, it looks vaguely similar to one of the people on Guardians of the Globe.
Okay. I don't read that.
Was he in this issue too? He was in this issue, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's where I thought I saw the character.
But I think, you know, I was talking with my roommate about it. Hi, Michael. We both kind of came to the conclusion that it's kind of more of a play on recent developments in comic books. And it's like, it's kind of poking fun at superhero comics and how superhero comics try to stay fresh by being culture, like trying to get a cultural reaction in that way.
Well, my hope is that the character shows up for one issue and then is like brutally murdered in that same issue. And it's like the bloodiest, you know, Ryan Otley issue ever. And it's just kind of like, you know, it's like a play on Miles Morales or whomever. And that's like their version, but I don't know. Something's happening to Mark. Who knows?
Yeah. Oh man. It's scary. I love Mark. I hope it's nothing bad. What else did you read?
Fat ale, as you call it.
Fat ale.
I got a surprise for you.
What?
I didn't read it, but I won't talk about it anyway.
What the hell?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I want to apologize for those black pages for the people who were reading it on the Android. That was my bad. This is inside baseball right now. Yeah, this is inside baseball. My bad.
Fatale, you know, is the big Bruby. We call him Bruby in the office.
Mm-hmm.
Brubs. The big Brubaker, Sean Phillips book. I bought it, downloaded it, and I was like, you know, maybe I want to read this when the other issues are out. And I love this book, but I don't want to love it as a monthly. I want to read every issue as a collection.
I agree. I actually really agree with you. I'm really trying to, I actually have it downloaded. I really, really am excited to read it. But at the same time, I'm like, the last issue ended with such a strange cliffhanger. Like it didn't feel like an end to a single issue. It felt like the end till the next page.
Yeah. I can't take it. I don't want to do that every month.
Yeah, I can only do that with one book, Fables.
No, but I don't know. Maybe my mind will change in 2 weeks when I want to read it. But for now, I feel like I just want to pile them up and then sit them and read them in one sitting.
Yeah,
that's just me right now. It's me. That's Matt.
It looks good, but the issue looks good.
That's Slim.
Matt Slim. That's at Slim. Good job, Slim. Really, real proud of you reaching that conclusion.
Golden Oldies.
Do you want to talk about that?
Moldy Oldies.
So you don't want to talk about Venom?
We
didn't talk about a Marvel book. I feel like Marvel, you know,
let's give Marvel some love. No one's giving Marvel love.
Yeah, let's give Marvel
right
love. Let's talk about Venom 13, which I think everybody should take a look at and read, particularly for the final page, which I think is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
So you need to do the elevator pitch for me because I stopped once the art changed. Tony Moore obviously needs a break because he's amazing and
he's amazing.
Can only do so many issues.
Why
should I buy this comic right now?
Why should you buy this comic? Because it's awesome and he's back.
Venom is back.
No, Tony Moore.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's reason enough to buy
Tony
it,
Moore
frankly.
Is back. So this is a reforming of the alternate Fantastic Four.
You mean the one with like Ghost Rider and
Ghost Rider, Hulk, Spider-Man... No, it was regular Hulk.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, it was Ghost Rider, Hulk, Spider-Man, and Wolverine. And it's a reforming, it's a alternate reforming of them. Alternate reforming, that's kind of a weird thought.
It is.
With Venom, Red Hulk, Venom for Spider-Man, Red Hulk for Hulk, X-23 for Wolverine, and Ghost Rider for Johnny Blaze. I can't remember her name, but...
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, they all have a, you know, somebody who is kind of related to the drama they're all going through coming together.
Hmm.
And they have to fight off this big bad all together.
A lot of people loved X-23, X-23, as she was
called. I love X-23.
You know, Mandy Boo. You know Mandy Boo?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was a big fan. That got canceled. Maybe she should check this book out.
She should check this book out. But this is actually going to be an interesting thing because... they're doing this particular run as issue 13 point whatever.
Oh, this is a point one issue?
No, this is 13, and then they're doing 13.1, which is the next issue of it, which is the next part of the story.
And that's like weekly, right? Does it come out 13.1, 13.2? Interesting. Interesting.
It's very interesting. It was really good too. And the final page is kind of amazing.
Really? As amazing as Last of the Greats? That big shocking panel?
Yeah, it does have a little bit. It does have a little bit of strange shock value to
okay.
it. Especially, I just want to say, no, I don't want to give away. I really don't want to give away anything right now. It's hilariously and amazing.
Moldy oldies,
golden, best of the backlist. I still want to call it.
What did you read? Or the moldies.
I have started reading Next Wave, Agents of Hate.
Ooh, I'm very interested in this. I read the first issue ages ago, and then for whatever reason,
it's got the perfect amount of humor and action, and just general messed up stuff.
Is it from Warren Ellis and Stuart Immonen? Is that right?
Yep. And it brings like a B team together, and they're trying to stop this organization that they may or may not actually be working for.
What? No. Now, are these the characters in this book? Are they already existing Marvel characters?
They are.
Okay.
I think there's one that may be not, but I don't know actually for sure.
Hmm.
But Machine Man and Boom Boom.
Boom Boom.
Boom Boom.
From X-Force?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. New Mutants?
New Mutants.
I don't know what you just said there. Meow, 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 meow.
Meow, 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 meow. Meow.
How many issues is this? Is this a finite story? Because I don't remember it going
that
long. 12, okay.
Yeah, it's 12 issues.
Hmm.
I'm only 2 issues in. I'm very excited to keep going with it. I have gotten when I've told people that I'm starting to read this, I have gotten mobbed with hugs.
Really?
And people almost flipping tables over because they loved it so much.
My gosh.
It was kind of amazing.
This is frightening reactions.
It is. But it's apparently like an amazing thing.
So the next con we go to, you need to stand on a table and yell out that you just read Next Wave and see what happens.
I'm doing it.
God help us all. I want to talk about 2 quick ones.
Ooh.
You know,
we've got a double dose.
Double dose.
Double header. Everybody.
The first one, Secret War.
Wait, Secret War?
Yes.
Not Secret Wars.
Not
Secret Wars 2.
No.
Secret War.
Secret War from your favorite writer, Brian Michael Bendis.
He's not my least favorite. You know, he's a good one.
He's
no Mark Millar, that's for sure.
Gabriel Del Otto on art.
What?
On paints. He recently did that that Avengers annual that came out.
Mm-hmm.
He I don't think he painted it. He drew it, so the art was a little different. He also painted Sex and Violence, X-Force. Do you remember
did
that?
Did he paint the covers for House of M?
No, that was Asad Ribic.
Okay, then never mind.
So this takes place, I think, after around 2001. So it was after the terrorist attacks. And it is about Nick Fury coming up with evidence that, you know, how are all these lame superheroes coming up with these high-powered uniforms and weapons when we look in their bank accounts and they only have like $2,000 in it. So he does some digging and finds out that the Prime Minister of Latveria is funding...
Isn't the Prime Minister of Latveria Dr. Doom?
No, at this point it was, I think... I'm not sure if she was related, but it wasn't Dr. Doom, it was a female. And so he finds out the money's being funneled to the Tinkerer from Latveria. So at this point, he's like, these aren't just criminals. These are terrorists. They're getting funded from an outside source. So he presents this to the president. You know, and the president's like, you know, we have a great relationship with Latveria right now. So we'll take care of it. And he's like, you know, I have a plan right now for us to go over there and take care of this. And he's like, that's enough. We'll take care of it. So he gets, like, shut down by the government. And they didn't believe him. Or they believe him, but they're not going to do anything because of politics. So he goes out and he's like, I can't let this happen again. He like alludes to the government knowing about September 11th before it was going to happen, but they didn't do anything. He's like, I can't let that happen again. So he puts together a strike team to go to Latveria of like Peter Parker. Now, this was before New Avengers. So it's like Peter Parker, Daredevil, Luke Cage, Wolverine, and Cap, and Black Widow. And the art is gorgeous. Gorgeous painted pages. Like, you can't get that monthly.
You know, you really gave a really good pitch for it from not hearing very good things about it.
Really? You didn't hear good things
I
about
never,
it?
I remember when it came out and I didn't hear the best things about it, but it could have been because it was so close to after 9/11 that I think people were kind of giving it a lot of flack.
Paging through it on the train this morning. It's absolutely gorgeous. Everyone has to get at least the first issue. Collection is on the app. So
I'll grab it.
Actually, I talked longer about it, but my other one was 100 Bullets.
That?
Azzarello.
You know, okay, so I love Brian Azzarello. I think Brian Azzarello is one of the most... I would love to have him on the podcast. I think he's one of the most amazing writers. He's like probably one of my favorite, probably top five. The only thing that ever stops me from reading... having trouble reading any of his books or stops me right in my tracks is his use of dialect.
The urban dialect.
It drives me nuts.
And I can tell you the same exact story. When we had to do a book club for the other podcast that I do, and 100 Bullets was the book. And the first story of that book takes place, you know, and like the mean, like there's like these mean Hispanic streets with gangs. And I was like, I can't read any of this. I don't know what is happening. It's taking me out of the story. The next story, the one after that, like, I was hooked because I got back into it and I was like, this is amazing. Everything about this is amazing. So
you know what we should do?
What?
Okay, I'm proposing this live.
You're
going
to propose to me right now on the show.
Yes, on the show. We should do a monthly reading of a hard to decipher Brian Azzarello page. We really should do it. I think we should.
We could. I'm sure there's more than one 100 Bullets. There's Spaceman.
Oh my God. I have not read the second issue.
I'm going to be honest. I stopped at the first issue. I couldn't get past it.
It was like, oh my God, I can't understand. Like, it does. It does take, like, when you're trying to, like, figure out what he's trying to say, it really does take you out a little bit. So I'm willing to jump back in.
The last thing I'll say about 100 Bullets, I got to issue 15 and, there was a different colorist for Eduardo, and I think his art is fantastic, but the coloring is so noticeably different that it took me out of the story. I'm not sure if it's just, I hope it's just this one storyline, but it was noticeably different than, like, it takes a lot to read a book and then 14 issues in realize that there's a different colorist. I think that it's a big deal.
Whoa.
You know? I just blew everyone's minds right now.
Colorists are really important. I have a hard time. God, what was the book? There was a book that came out like that was long running and I loved it. And then the colors changed and I really hated the book after that because it was just like, maybe it was Invincible. Cause I think Invincible changed the colorist after a while and I really hated the muted colors.
I have another colorist Betty Breitweiser. I consider Klaus Janson the most recognizable inker. I think she's the most recognizable colorist in the biz.
Really?
Yeah. Putting it out there right now.
Whoa.
In your face.
Exclusive.
We running out of time.
Yeah, Twitter.
We got to get to the Twitter of Doom. As we said before, we're going to put a question out there. We're running out of time. We can only read a few of them.
Okay.
Who would you want to see in a High Noon showdown? We go to the Twitter right
How
now.
How high is this noon?
I'm going to say afternoon.
Whoa.
Yeah. At Jade Newt.
Okay.
On the Twitter. Bullseye versus Deadshot.
Ooh, that would be... Wow, that's like the ultimate one, for sure.
At Mr. Underscore V Underscore 40K on the Twitter. You ready? Deathstroke, the Terminator versus Deadpool.
That would be cool. Although that's not very High Noon. That's more like Sunrise on the Beach samurai style.
Samurais don't fight anywhere besides the beach?
No, they just only fight at Sunrise on the Beach. That's the only time they fight.
So samurais have never fought in Kansas, is what you're telling me right now.
No way. Not in Kansas.
I think I smell a comic book idea. Kansas samurais.
Shut up. Shut up, you just blew my mind.
Last one, we're running out of time. At The Flash Reborn.
Hello, At The Flash Reborn.
On the Twitter.
It's nice to hear from you again.
Superman versus Cyclops. They both shoot red energy out of their eyes. I'd like to see whose eyes are more powerful.
That I actually really agree with.
He also
he makes a very good point.
He also added a winky emoticon. I don't want to forget that.
Oh, because is he trying to close the one eye that shoots red energy out? Is that why he's winking? Maybe that's just his face all the time.
What happens? Cyclops can just blow red out of his one eye, right?
No, it's both of his eyes.
I know, but can he close one? And then he can close one.
Yeah,
he
can probably go,
still come out.
Boop. If he winks at you, you're dead.
What a show.
Yeah.
What a show, you know?
Gosh, I mean, there's just so much more I want to talk about, but we have no time.
Thanks for listening. We had the Mark Sable interview.
Yeah.
That I hope you enjoyed.
I really hope you
did. And we have another one coming up next
week.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned. It's going to be a big one. Huge. Let me just tell you.
Biggest ever.
If you like Fantastic Four, you'll want to listen to it.
I'll see you next week, Jake.
I'll see you next week, Sven. Bye.